Father, thank you for opportunity to come and to dig into the privilege it is to proclaim your name, this topic of evangelism. Lord, what a gospel we have to speak about. Certainly we know that the sinfulness of man and the glories of Christ are right at the heart of the gospel. And substitutionary atonement is at the heart of the gospel. Thank you for what we've learned already. I pray as we dive into this new lesson that you'd help our discussion around the tables and everything that we do would bring glory to you and would equip us for the work of ministry. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I have to compete a little bit with some singing in the back, so I'll do my best to raise my voice. Last week we began foundational preparation for evangelism, and we answered a question: what isn't evangelism? And we went through five different things that were not evangelism. Evangelism is not imposition. It's not forcing our opinion or our truth on someone. In fact, evangelism has nothing to do with the reception of truth. Then evangelism is not, personal testimony is not evangelism. Personal testimony can lead to evangelism and is a great vehicle for evangelism, but personal testimony is not in and of itself evangelism. Thirdly, social action and public involvement is not evangelism. We serve and love others because of the gospel, but our great calling, our great commission is to make disciples of all the nations. Apologetics, we found, was not evangelism. It certainly, I believe, can remove obstacles. And it almost always is a starting point of conversations, apologetics. So it's very important for those two reasons. But at some point, we need to get to evangelism. And apologetics by itself is not evangelism. Side note, Ken Ham did a good job of evangelism during the debate on Tuesday night, perhaps. The gospel was present, and I think that's important. Would have liked a little more apologetics, but the gospel was clear. Results. Getting saved is not evangelism. So that's what isn't evangelism. That was last week, and I believe it was recorded, and you can listen to it if you missed that lesson. Today, we're going to answer the question, what is evangelism? What is evangelism? We discovered that there is much confusion among professing evangelicals as to the content of the evangel, the gospel. And if it's true that there's a lot of confusion about the definition of the gospel, don't you think there might be confusion as to what evangelism actually is? Makes sense. Let me give you a famous definition of evangelism that has been put forth in church history around 1918. I'll read it. You can fill the blanks in. It's a famous old definition. Old. 1918 is kind of old. Okay, here it is. To evangelize is so to present Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit that men shall come to put their trust in God through Him, to accept Him as their Savior, and serve Him as their King in the fellowship of His church. Were you able to fill the blanks in as I went? I'm going to say it one more time quickly. To evangelize is to so present Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit that men shall come to put their trust in God through Him, to accept Him as their Savior, and serve Him as their King in the fellowship of His church. That's one old definition. Now, what I want you to think about for a minute while I get this set up is what is good with this definition, and watch this. Second question, what is, in your opinion, not so good about this definition? So why don't you, as I get set up, why don't you start to talk about that among your tables. Think about what is, in your opinion, good about it. Maybe mark a list for good things and a list for perhaps maybe things you wouldn't say if you were writing your own personal definition of evangelism. All right, go ahead and work on that for a few minutes. What is good and what is not so good, in your opinion, about this definition? If you have that many commas in a sentence, it's almost would be like reading one of my articles. No. I'm kind of kidding because she edits my. She's the editor for my articles. Oh, perfect. Let me see if I can. This. Oh, you know what? It needs. I need a wrench. Yeah. Does this have a wrench on it? This is a nice tool. I'm just gonna. It'll hold the weight of my notes. I'll just run and grab my Bible. Thank you. I'm only going to give you a couple more minutes. I apologize because we have a lot to cover. Okay, good and not so good. Abby, can you, when I talk, are you hearing me in the back? Okay. Keep going. Give you 2 more minutes or so to finish out your list of good and not so good, and then we'll move on. All right. I know you would probably, you could spend a whole hour on this very question. I realize that. But because we don't have that time, I'm going to, let's hear from you, and I'll write it up here because this might help you later on in some of the things we do. First of all, and just try to project so I can hear you. What is, in your opinion, good about this? We'll try to get 3 or 4 for each quickly. Okay, so presented in power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what else did you feel was good about this? Okay, so lordship. Okay, Paul, I think you have one too. Christ is main object. Okay. Okay, since it's going fast, give me a couple more. I'm a part of a church in the fellowship to serve. Okay, so, you know, the fellowship of the church, good. Of His church, Christ's church, right? Okay, one more. Anybody have anything else written down that they want to share?
That they serve Him.
Okay, good. Okay, what, in your opinion, now, instead of putting bad here, maybe it's probably not necessarily true to say that, because not so good, maybe. And this is where we can debate a little bit, and it's okay. Not everybody's going to agree on every little thing on a class like this. That's okay. This is part of the discussion. Okay, go. Five. Okay, in the back, Abby, and then Jeanette.
It made it sound like if you weren't getting results, it wasn't evangelism. That's one thing that you said last week.
Okay. So, results were a part of that definition. Very good observation. Jeanette?
Okay. So
trust in God through Him. Okay, so maybe you would say, well, wait a minute, what does this mean? And I think whenever we have to ask ourselves, what does something mean, then, like when I preach, sometimes you have to ask, I wonder what he meant by that. Sometimes, right? And so that's not necessarily good communication. Okay? Melissa?
It's nothing about a relationship to who you're presenting to or with God. It's nothing about relations. It seems to be sort of...
Nothing about a personal relationship. Okay. Eileen and then Kevin.
Sin is not even mentioned.
Sin, question mark. Okay. Kevin. Okay, so you got... Okay, that's a good point. Accept Christ versus receive Christ. All right. Now, just a comment on that. You know, of course, we look at people's heart for what they mean by that, but there's just something that just doesn't sit deeply and resonate with our souls after we hear a message like today and then somehow call it accepting Christ. Does that make sense? No. We're accepted by Him. In fact, Paul, in the book of Galatians, correct me if I'm wrong, does one of these switches of terminology. And he's kind of thankful that, I'm thankful that you've chosen Christ. Then he stops in a mid-sentence. Or rather, have been chosen by Him. Same thing. That's the same idea. Okay, but we can... Okay, Paul? Yeah, you're right. So, repentance... Yeah, is repentance A-N-C-E? Yeah, okay. So, it goes with that. And, all, you know, sometimes you wonder if serve ties into that, but it's a little bit nebulous if it does. All right, so, good. I just want to get us thinking. I think you guys are on to some good things here. But I agree that this defines evangelism in a sense in terms of an effect achieved in the lives of others. And I think that's a key observation here. Now, as we go on, let's look at And think through an answer here. And if someone could be so kind as to get me something to wipe this off with, I forgot to get that. Let's look at what is evangelism. And in order to do that, and I'm going to have your tables kind of, if you were writing a definition, what would you write based on some of the stuff that's here, based on what I'm going to teach you in the next 10 minutes, then we're going to do this again, but we're going to write our own, not a full definition, but some of the words that must be included in your opinions in a definition, or even begin to write it. And then we'll try to come up with our GCBC definition of evangelism. Okay, to help that, understand in Paul's, here's the blank, evangelistic ministry. Okay, first of all, let's talk about this. Paul was a steward. Thank you. Paul was a steward. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 1. And I'm just going to hit a few passages today as I move through this. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. I can't set the context for the sake of time. I apologize for that. Let a man regard us in this manner, 1 Corinthians 4, 1, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. There's something about stewardship. No one likes a bum steward. A steward, by definition, is one who is faithful. Stewards of what? Of your own opinions? No, stewards of the mysteries of God. So, also write down 1 Corinthians 9, 7, and since we're there, we'll turn to it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17, just so you have some references to kind of think about as we go. Okay, so Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. Let's go for verse 16. Verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. There's a sense in which he was compulsed to preach the gospel. He had been given a stewardship to do so. So understand that the gospel was entrusted to Paul, and there was a responsibility laid upon him to be faithful to that trust. Stewardship and responsibility are a part of evangelism. Okay. Secondly, Paul was a herald. He was a herald. 2 Timothy 1, verse 11. Can you hear me in the back? 2 Timothy 1, verse 11. I don't know if I have the right verse here. Well, he says, probably in the Greek, this is the word for herald. For which I was appointed a preacher, and that's the word for herald. That's the word for one who makes a public announcement on another's behalf. That's interesting about a herald. A public announcement on another's behalf. A herald. I'm your herald. I'm not a herald, I'm your herald. And so Paul was appointed a herald, a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher. 1 Corinthians 1:23. We got some good songs going today. 1 Corinthians 1:23. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, verse 22, and Greeks search for wisdom. I think this is probably one of my favorite verses for ministry. But we preach Christ crucified. To Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. Again, the word, the specific Greek word there is the idea of heralding, a person who makes public announcements on another's behalf. And the point here is we preach Christ crucified. The point is heralding the message. It's really not even the activity of announcing. Now watch this with the herald. It's the thing announced. It's the proclamation itself, the message declared. Now one writes this. Paul, in his own estimation, was not a philosopher, not a moralist, not one of the world's wise men, watch this, but simply Christ's herald. His royal master had given him a message to proclaim. His whole business, therefore, was to deliver that message. Watch this. And it kind of ties into the stewardship part. With exact and studious faithfulness. Adding nothing, altering nothing, and omitting nothing. End quotes. So, Paul as a herald highlights the authenticity of the proclamation itself and the purity. So authenticity and purity is more what a herald is, and responsibility and faithfulness is more what a steward. Now, third, Paul was an ambassador. He is an authorized representative of a sovereign. He speaks not in his own name, but on behalf of the ruler whose deputy he is. His whole duty and responsibility is to interpret that ruler's mind faithfully. Did you hear that? To interpret that ruler's mind faithfully to those to whom he is sent. So Paul is an ambassador. This is a famous passage. I think it's worthy of turning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start at verse 18. And the context here is Paul writing about the armor of God. And then he talks about prayer. And then that moves him to say, hey, by the way, pray for me, which he always says in his epistles. He really loves to have the prayers of the saints for him. So look at verse 18. With all prayer and petition, this is Ephesians chapter 6, 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray in my behalf. And then watch what he prays for. That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So when Paul proclaimed the message of the gospel, when he urged sinners to receive the reconciliation of Calvary, it was Christ's message. It was God's message to the world that he was declaring. One of the big points I want you to see is to rid ourselves of the man-centeredness of a definition of evangelism. Rid ourselves of that. Not only in the fact that we're doing it, not only in the fact of the emphasis of the message, but even in the results of it. Rid ourselves of everything but the depravity of man from your definition. And certainly include it, the depravity of man, which I thought was weak, as was mentioned. I thought it was. You can't assume sin. You can't assume sin. Many big churches, small churches, medium-sized churches, preach a gospel that is bloodless, repentanceless, and assumes that they grew up in Sunday school back when it was prim and proper to speak of such things. And hopefully they'll have it down. And there's nothing more offensive than the gospel without blood. Without this work of Christ. So, this is not our message. It is not your right nor your privilege to tamper with it and to decide that people can't handle this sort of thing. If we want results, we got to X, Y, and Z this message. It's not your privilege as a steward. That is not your privilege as a herald. That is not your privilege as an ambassador. Do you see? It's not our message. It's not your faith. It's the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. Jude, the book of Jude. Isn't that a great relief? So the figure of ambassador highlights the authority that Paul had and we have because we're representing our Lord. It's His authority, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him, and we are dispensers of His authority as His ambassadors by making disciples of all nations. Is it hard? Yes. But lo, I will be with you all the day, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission. Okay. So, our working definition. Our working definition. So, what I want you to do then, I'll leave this up here for the time being because maybe these words were somewhat helpful to help you. And based on what I taught you, which was probably a review of Paul's own evangelistic ministry, try to, in 5 minutes, please, in your tables, come up with a definition of evangelism. Now, you say, I can't do that. Just give some words that must be included then, in your opinion. We better have this word, and we better have that word. Okay, and let's see what you come up with. Go. 5 minutes. So Liz, you made it out of bed after all those trips up that hill yesterday. I was impressed. You didn't have a wheelchair, so that's good. Hence, this series is going to be awful long. Because as we start to dig into this, we start to realize, well, we need to be able to know what sin is. We really need to be able to own it. Yeah, well, in a sense, to be able to, no, I do, and it's hard. But just to be able to say and have a clarity of thought in talking about these things.
I like what you're doing, Chief, was talking about defining words or words are. This, what this is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, what it is, what it isn't, what it is, so people get confident.
Yep. And we just keep, hopefully, we'll just build one stone upon the other in this series to the point when we end up feeling, you know what, this is kind of exciting. I think I can share about this. And it's equipping, right? Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Okay. One more minute. Sorry, I apologize, but only one more minute so that we can be done somewhat close to on time today. Okay, I'm going to erase the board now, so if you need to take one last look, do it now. Okay, I apologize that I'm interrupting you right now. So finish your sentence, finish your thought, and then we're going to see what we have so far. And it's okay if we don't get a full written out definition today. I'm going to take the words you've got. If we don't get it all written out, I'm going to work on one, and you can tell me what you think based on the words you give me at least for next week, okay? All right, so let's have it. Definition, GCBC. All right. What are some words that you think need to be included? Sin? Sammy? Teach? What else? Repentance. Judge. I heard that one. Is that, did I get it right? Is that what you said? Okay, so cross. Christ, Paul. Okay, I think it's helpful to do this. I really do. There's a reason for it that is implicit in that. But we're not going to get into that now, but we will at some point.
Can we put separate something with sin and separate?
Yeah, good. I'm going to just clump it here because I think the two probably are in the same phrase or whatever. So, okay, Bob, did you have one? I'm sorry.
I was trying to get substitution or atonement in there, but I think it's under soil.
Whether you say the word or you try to describe the concept, Kevin, then Melissa.
Sovereignty or authority.
Somewhere in there, okay. Melissa? Okay. Okay. So, cross. But I like this. Watch this. Burial. Resurrection. Okay, what else? Anything else that you'd want to put? Okay, good. I'm glad you asked that. Kelly? Okay. All right, now. Okay, so Paul asked a good question because he's starting to feel the tension here. Are we defining evangelism or are we defining the gospel? And that's a good, and then a yes is put out there. And I think that's important, but you could talk about the task of evangelism. And then have a sub discussion of something within that task. Does that make any sense? So let's talk about this for a minute. Now, what do you call the fact that there's sin? And man is sinner, we're separate from a holy God, and if not, we'll be judged in hell forever. But there is a solution, namely the cross, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, whom God had given him the authority to be our substitutionary atonement. What do you call that? The gospel. So, now, and I think that we're getting the idea here that the definition was flawed in two important ways. Number one, it didn't get the gospel right. And number two, it oversold mankind in our involvement in it. Is that fair? So, because of that, we could simplify the task of evangelism as what? Yes. Now, I'm not a big fan of the word sharing the gospel. Now, why is that? It can have... Sharing's fine, but sharing is your opinion. We don't... Yes. The word itself has that feel to it. Okay, proclaiming... Proclaiming... the gospel... You know, and we could, whatever we do, I think heralding, proclaiming the gospel is at the heart of the task of evangelism. Now, I think it would be good to fill this out with some proclaiming in the power of the Spirit, and we can say, we can now take the gospel, and we can remove that word and put the content in to expand a definition, which is why you said both. But to start out with, the gospel isn't evangelism. Heralding the gospel, stewarding the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, what's the other one? Being an ambassador for the gospel is evangelism. And it's not about your opinion. It's not about sharing. It's about a proclamation. Now, guys... And I would say, proclaiming the, and I hate to say whole gospel because then you get into weird kinds of theology because that means a lot of things to a lot of people. But I'm telling you, we are wimps. We will not share all the way to the end. Oh yeah, some of us want to stick with apologetics and never get to the gospel, like me. Hear me? The gospel includes what? We're going to get into this. Who is God? Who is man? Christ and response. Repentance and faith. Until you call someone to repentance and faith, you have not heralded the gospel. Did you hear me? And that is important because this is where we fail. We stop short. I stop short. No one wants to do that. Am I right? Because unless God is drawing them, that is not received. So, proclaiming the gospel is very important. If you're going to call evangelism heralding the gospel, proclaiming the gospel to sinners, I think that's fine. We have to define this, and whatever we define this as, I think that we've done a good job, and we're going to continue to work on this. And what that looks like, because this is it, guys. This is what we do. Now, let me just say this. And so our working definition, based on what you've said and Paul's comment, is going to be evangelism is proclaiming the gospel to sinners. Now, there was another definition in 1974 that came out. And it's a decent quote. I'll just read it. Evangelism is not persuading people to make a decision. It is not proving that God exists. It's not making a good case for the truth of Christianity. It's not inviting someone to a meeting. It is not exposing the contemporary dilemma. It's not arousing interest in Christianity. It's not wearing a badge that says Jesus saves or what would Jesus do or you name it. I would say all of those things may be right and good in their place. All of those things could start the process. All of those things could lead to evangelism. It leads to it. But they, in and of themselves, are not evangelism. Is it coming together for you from last week to this week? It's very important to see that. Now, that quote finishes what is evangelism. And it's a little longer than our definition, but I'm going to have you just hear this definition, fill the blanks in. This is one more definition. Did I have the word more in there? Did I have this? Please tell me I have this. This was written in 1974, and the quote is, to evangelize is to declare, and Kevin will like this, on the authority of a God. There you go, Kevin, we got the word authority in there. To evangelize is to declare on the authority of God what He has done to save sinners. To warn men of their lost condition, to direct them to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might say it's not quite exactly right, but it certainly is a lot, what? Better. Now, the point is, that is simply to proclaim the gospel. Isn't it? And I think it helps us to simplify it right now, that big a picture. Evangelism is proclaiming the gospel. I mean it. What it does is it kind of gives us that big picture so that we can say to ourselves, okay, and it's convicting because we know that that's the one thing that we haven't done. It's convicting, isn't it? But it's the one thing that the Holy Spirit uses to draw people to salvation. Now, you may say something and it starts the ball rolling so someone else does it. Fine. You may say, but I'm telling you, we are called to give the gospel and let the Lord do His work. Now, you say, well, I don't get it because I got to build a friendship and I can't just shove this from people. Look, this is just day class 3. We got a lot of work to do, but until we have this in our mind, what it really is, We can mitigate till the cows come home this task. And we will to some degree. I don't mean to say it in that way. We're not going to throw it out the window. But we will explain and talk about how it works. But we cannot lose sight of our task is proclaiming the gospel to sinners. And you guys, did I get the whole definition? Yes. Here's another summary. Evangelism is a stewardship. First point. A stewardship to proclaim the message of our King. We are called to speak the message faithfully, and to speak not our own message, but the message of our King. This is evangelism, three blanks, responsible, faithful, authoritative. And why don't you put the word in there that I should have put in there, complete. Say it all the way to the end. It might, no, again, doesn't mean it has to be the first time you meet someone all the way to the end like a robot and just to get it in. No, it might be on the next day or the next month, but you have to think clearly what your task is. I'm serious about that, to be faithful. Conclusion. We have a concluding question. One minute. I'm over time. I'm just going to go over. I'm just going to do it. Concluding question. Here's a question for you, and I want you to be honest. If this is our definition, what needs to be done, in your opinion, to help you do this? And I'm serious about, please give me at least 7 things. What needs to be done, in your opinion, in your own life, so that you can faithfully discharge this? I'm just going to write it down. I'm actually going to help it direct how I take this class. What do you need to do this?
I need help in thinking about how to structure my life around the task.
Okay.
My life is not structured around that task.
That's a good point. Structure life around task. Because right now, Paul, our lives are structured around survival. Okay, that's point one. Good point. And that, I think, needs to come up. Liz, and then Danielle. Okay, good. So, fear of man. Good. And so, to even part of an evangelism series ought to get at our heart and to help us look at this and to be able to deal with this. Is that fair? Good. Danielle.
Get around
Yeah, okay, good. And it's a little bit about structure. Danielle said that one of the things we need to have to get around unbelievers. Okay, what else needs to be done for you to accomplish this task? Just shout them out.
Like a first, I mean, like with my niece, it's easy, but with people that you're interacting with at the grocery store, like the first sentence, like how do you start the conversation?
Okay, good. So how to start? I mean, that's a great one. We better talk in a class like this some practical ways to start. What else? Anything else you want help on? Because I'm going to put it in the series, so this is your chance.
Relating to unbelieving family, people you see.
Good.
Not just the one time.
So dealing with this topic in regards to our family. Good. That'll be good. Barb? Good. So, thinking about how prayer connects to all of this. That's a really good one. I'm going to take these down in my own notes. Prayer. Prayer's connection. I want two more, and then we're going to have to cut it off. John?
Holding God high.
Say it one more time.
Holding God.
Yes. So, the glory of God in this whole thing. The glory. Can I say it that way? The glory of God in evangelism, how does that connect together? One more.
Power. Can you put power and glory together?
Yeah, power. Yep. The power of evangelism, where does it come from? Yeah. And we're gonna talk about that. Okay, Paul? Liz? Who had their hand up?
Fatima?
Assertiveness. So again, how to start, how to get around, and then how to be assertive. Everybody assertive. Ooh, that's bad. I'll just kind of make assertive.
Proper response to
rejection. Oh, good. How to when rejected, what do? After you cry yourself to sleep. Just kidding, Kevin. I don't, maybe. Okay, keep going. Liz, and then Mindy. Very good. What is our heart in this? Not only the fear of man, but our do we love these people? Do we have it with a tear in our eye, or we just want to be right? So our heart of compassion. Mindy, and then we're going to have to close because I want to read one last passage. Mindy?
Similar to that, but just truly understanding how to speak truth and love, not like self-righteousness.
Yes. Good. So the heart, yeah, truth and love. How to speak, not just what to speak, everybody, right? So, truth and love. Okay, thank you for your help. That's what we need. Well, one more concluding passage. I'm going to finish, and sometimes you just got to do it. Luke chapter 16. Please turn to Luke chapter 16. I want to set our hearts with this as we think about the definition of evangelism. This is the I don't know, honestly, whether it's a parable or a true account, I tend to think it's a true account. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Now listen to these words and think about how it applies to evangelism. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. I'm in verse 21 of Luke 16. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, then you send him to my father's house. If it's too late for me, I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. They see the resurrection, a miracle like that, they'll repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Brothers and sisters, evangelism is proclaiming the gospel found in Moses and the prophets and in the New Testament, and it's going to take the power of God. Do you hear me? Not your creativity. It's going to take the power of God. And in that we rejoice, because if it was about us, we'd fail miserably. It's about Him. Father, thank You for this time. Help us to just enjoy the week and just be thinking about these things that we've learned. In Christ's name, amen.